5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hey, this is not first class.
Circus! Afro Circus! Afro Circus! Afro
Welcome to the Clown Car, a parenting podcast where a dad
and mom
talk about what it's like being the ringleaders in our own circus.
We are not professionals. The only credentials we have are four kids.
Four.
So do your research and find what works for you.
Hello, fellow ringleaders. I am one of your hosts, Barry Ricks, and with me I have my most amazing wife, Krista Ricks.
From Transylvania.
From Transylvania. All right. Hi, honey.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Good?
Yeah. We took naps today.
Well, I took like a...
It counts.
Like 30-minute nap.
It counts.
Which is weird, because I never take naps. But now I'm thinking, I should take naps more. Except the whole time I was like, children, leave me alone.
Stop touching me.
But that's, you know, but we were tired. And you'll know why after we talk about, you know.
We're always tired.
Yeah.
It's like we start our show. This should just be called We're Tired.
Like the Tired Clown Car. So, let's talk about our crazy circus.
Let's do it.
It's time for the Stories of the Week.
So this is Stories of the Week. And we tell
you. You know what that means.
We tell you what happened in our week of craziness with each other and our children. So... Honey, your list is significantly larger than mine.
Oh, I was really stretching on this list. Let's start with today.
Okay.
Today is Sunday.
Sunday.
And it was really stressful for me because Barry had to go to a meeting at church. And we go to church every Sunday. But he had to go early. So I had to get everyone ready. And usually, well, our kids, most of them can dress themselves now, which is awesome. But I had this thing where Jackson, our youngest, was wearing his older brother's Lego Ninjago shirt. And I said, okay, it's time to put on your church clothes. And he flipped out. He didn't want to change his clothes. So, and I put him basically in like a regular, just a nice polo shirt. And he flipped out. He didn't want to wear it. And so he's screaming. And Lacey's screaming because she came in with three bags full of toys. And said, can I take three bags to church? And I said, no, you can take one bag. I already told you, one bag. And she's like, but I want three bags. Just three. I'm like, just three. You can't even say just three. And so I'm like, no, get one bag. And so she leaves the room. And I don't know what she did. I think she closed our laundry door out of anger. But her hand got pinched in the doors.
So that's what happened.
So she starts screaming. And I mean, it was like... You know when your face, they're not making any noise, but it's like the buildup where they're just, their face is turning bright red, but nothing's coming out. And then she just went, ah! And started screaming, and Jackson's crying, and I just threw them all in the car, and I was like, I don't even want to go to church today.
See, I didn't know what she meant, because she's like, I caught my hand in the laundry, like, door. And so in my mind, I thought she, like, caught her hand in, like, the dryer door, and I'm like, how to do that? And, like, that doesn't... But we have the
accordion doors,
and so they open up, and so when they close, you know, they have that, the two doors go flush with each other, and so her hand got pinched in that.
Yeah, and it looked really bad.
Yeah.
But I lead the music. I'm the choir director at our church, so I was almost running late, and it was at that moment where I mean, we gotta go now. So she's following me around with this, like, smashed hand, and it got her really, really bad. It looked awful. So I throw them all in the car, and then I feel guilty. Like, I didn't show her any care. I was just like, I'm sorry, we have to get in the car right now. So I ran back inside and got her a washcloth to make me feel better. Like a wet one, and just said, put it on your hand. She's like, thank you, mommy. So I felt better about that. But it was like one of those days where I just wanted to be like, all right, get back inside and put your jammies on. We're watching TV for the entire day. But, and then after church, we're walking out to the car, and all of a sudden Lacey starts flipping out. And I thought, I mean, she was really tired, you could tell. And she's like, it itches. And I was like, what itches?
And we couldn't figure it out. So we're like, is it the tag? Is the tag on your dress or something?
She's pointing at her back. And I was like, you're fine. And she's screaming bloody murder and won't move and just screaming that it itches. And so I'm holding her tag. Like, I have my hand shoved down her back. And I'm like, come on, just get in the car and we'll figure it out at home. And she's like, I can't. You're not doing it. It itches. Please scratch my back. And so we get home. And I'm at the brink of just throttling. Like, just go to bed. You're driving me crazy. And I take off her dress. And when I pull it off, I see mosquito bites all over her back.
Well.
All over. There was two.
But they're big.
But they're like in way down deep. I don't even know how a mosquito got in there.
Yeah.
And then I felt guilty again because I thought she was just, she's the one that overreacts anytime she's tired.
Yeah.
And so she must have felt.
So the show should be called Tired Guilt.
Yes. Overreaction. Oh, I felt so bad. But so anyway, I put lotion on her back and then I came in our room. We do something called MDATAC. Which is mommy and daddy alone time after church, where we lock ourselves in our room and stay out. And so we're just laying here for like a couple minutes and Lacey pounds on the door and she's like, mommy, mommy. And I was like, what? And she said, I love you.
I love you. And we're like, oh, okay.
I love you too. I'm sorry.
So I had a rough morning too.
I know.
I was in meetings so hard.
Whatever.
So
meetings with adults that you can chat with.
Sorry, honey. I love you.
Whatever.
So I really didn't do anything. Like, nothing really happened with me and the kids this week that I could report on. It was kind of a blah week.
I think it's because we just got home from our giant vacation and didn't want to do anything.
or nothing can compare, so we don't even think about it. But
right, that's not it.
But something did was able to do. There, our church had a father-son camp out, and so I just took the oldest. I didn't take the 2-year-old boy. So he stayed home with mommy and the girls. But it was just an overnight camp out, but it was lots of fun. We just went to a place that's on the outskirts of town, but it's an official campground, and went there and everyone was hanging out and all the kids went and played. Grayson found a baby bunny and caught it, and all the kids were excited about that. And Grayson ran into a cactus and I spent a half an hour picking out little tiny cactus spurs out of him. And then I kept finding them on me for the rest of the night.
Which makes me laugh because one of my friends recently was telling her daughter, like, because they're looking at other places to live, and she said, wouldn't it be nice to go camping somewhere where there's no cactus?
I know, right?
That's the joy of living in the South, like, in the desert.
Well, in New Mexico.
Yes.
So, overall, it was really fun until we slept, because we didn't. Because once again, a storm actually came in, and windy and raining, and it was terrible night's sleep. Like, it was so loud and the wind was blowing our tent so hard I thought our tent was gonna like topple over a couple times. And so I did not sleep like at all. Mm-hmm. Or very, very little that night. And Grayson didn't actually sleep much either. We were kind of just laying miserably on at least we had our air mattress.
Oh, did you? I guess I'd never asked if you took it.
Yeah, no, of course I took it. but no, it was good. We woke up in the morning and it was still raining, but we had, you know, breakfast cooked. And then, we went home early in the morning and then we were tired the rest of the day.
Yeah. The day you guys came home, we basically stayed in bed all day long.
Yeah, basically stayed in bed all day
long. The kids didn't, but we did. Because while he was gone, I couldn't sleep. And I stayed up till 2 in the morning
watching Korean dramas.
I know, and it was awesome. But it wasn't because I was watching the show. It was because I was scared. Uh-huh. And I needed it to comfort me.
Uh-huh, sure. Whatever, but, you know, makes you feel better.
It does. I'm almost done with my show, though.
So tell us about your girls' night with the girls.
Yeah. Well, we call it, it was 70% girls' night.
Because you had the two-year-old
30%
boy.
30% Jackson.
That's right.
But, yeah, it was fun. We rented Monster High.
Yeah.
The Great Scarier Reef.
Ooh.
So the girls were so excited to watch it, and we piled a bunch of blankets in the living room, and we... bought special ice cream, so we had our ice cream, watched our movie, and snuggled. And then the girls said they wanted to sleep on the couch. Our older daughter was like, I've always wanted to sleep on the couch. So they both took a couch, and they're like, will you stay out here with us? And I'm like, I'm not sleeping on the floor.
Forget you, I'm going to bed.
I'm going to go watch my Korean shows. So, I mean, we still stayed up late, and then I came in here and... locked myself in and watched shows and freaked myself out with ghost sounds in our home. I kept thinking someone was coming in to kill us all.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Because for my 30th birthday, Barry filled up 30 balloons and hung pictures of me on all of them. And they're still full 2 weeks later. And the kids cleaned the room on Friday and they put all the balloons in the hallway. So all night long, I was hearing them, like, brush up against each other. And I was like, what is that? Who is it? Freaked me out. So thanks a lot. Happy birthday.
Big wussy pants.
I am the biggest wuss in the world.
That's okay.
Everyone knows it.
All right. What else do you got?
The only other thing I have is the other day, our girls were outside playing. And they come inside with a grocery bag. And it looks like it's stuffed full of, like, pink t-shirts. Yeah. And they said, Mommy, we have something for you. And I open it up, and it's a full bag of rose heads.
Buds.
But, like, big
blooms.
Big rose blooms. And I was like, oh, my gosh. Did you guys cut these off of someone's bush? I was so worried because, you know, that would be the worst thing ever to just chop. It was a full grocery bag.
Yeah.
And I was so worried just picturing, because we just had an incident where our daughter ruined cut decorations of someone, of our sister-in-law.
Of our sister-in-law.
Cut them up. But anyway, so I just knew that they cut someone's flower bush to death. But it turns out that someone on our street was trimming the rose bushes and let them have all the old dead ones. Yep. So we have a bag of dead roses.
Yes. It's beautiful.
It is. It was sweet that they thought of me.
It was.
That's all. That's my whole list.
I bought you roses.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Article?
Let's do it. All right. So this, we actually had a friend send this article to Crystal.
Tina, thank you.
And it was, science says parents of successful kids have these 13 things in common. So the article talks about how these 13 factors are common, but it's not, you know, all-encompassing, like, you know, it's not everyone with these factors have successful kids and stuff like that.
They know.
Whatever.
You don't need to do a disclaimer.
I'm going.
Okay, number one, parents make their kids do chores. I like this one because I like making my kids do chores.
Well, and I did chores growing up and it does. It teaches you that you need to pitch in.
Well, and they say... The reason why is because you need to teach your kids that they have to work for things.
And that, you know, people, you're not going to be taken care of your whole life. And if kids aren't taught how to do things or to work or good work ethic, then when they get into the real world, they're like, oh, don't people just do that for me?
Right. And at the end it says, by making them do chores, taking out the garbage, doing their own laundry, they realize I have to do the work of life in order to be a part of life.
There you go.
So I totally agree with that.
Agree with that one. All right. Number two.
Which we have never discussed how we do chores at our house.
Oh.
But we'll do it later. I'm just saying.
We'll do that.
We've never talked about how we do it.
Another time.
Okay.
All right. Number two, they teach their kids social skills. So another research study that they cited, it was a 20-year study showed that socially competent children who could cooperate with their peers without prompting, be helpful to others, understand their feelings, and resolve problems on their own were far more likely to earn a college degree and have a full-time job by the age of 25 than those of their with limited social skills. And then it talked about with those with limited social skills had a higher chance of getting arrested, binge drinking, and applying for public housing.
I think that's crazy that there's such a strong correlation.
So it's just have good social skills, because I know that a lot of employees, like, it's interesting because I've looked at job postings and a lot of them are like, you have good interpersonal communication skills. You're fun and can get along with people. Mm-hmm. That's like a big thing on a lot of employers. They don't want to hire someone that's, you know, can't work with people and can't, you know, socially be competent.
But of course, it doesn't give you any idea of how to teach social skills. No. It says you need to have them.
You need to have
social skills. So good luck figuring that out, people.
Yep.
Next one is they have high expectations. So basically, this one talks about if you expect your kids to do well in school and expect them to go to college, chances are they will.
Because it's kind of like a self-fulfilling prophecy where you're like, oh, well, I've always been taught that I'm supposed to go to college, so I'm going to go to college.
Right. So I like that.
Yeah. So, it's not bad to have high expectations for your kids.
But there's a limit.
But that's
another thing.
Some
people are crazy.
It's not bad to have high expectations for your children as long as you're not like anally retentively pushing everything onto your kids. Because you hear of people that are like so like hardcore. You are going to go to the best college possible and this and this. You're going to get straight A's and they're very, they're like a dictator.
Right. So here's another one where I say, good luck figuring this one out.
And it's just like, if my kid just goes to college, I'm happy. You know, go for it. It doesn't matter which one. So number four, they have healthy relationships with each other. And this talks about that the parents have a healthy relationship with each other. That shows that children that are in a home with the parents that get along are more prone to success than those that have conflict at home. And they even said like even divorced parents, if the divorced parents still get along, like they get along and, you know, the father and mother have like joint custody and so they're in the kid's life still, but they don't have conflict, the kid can still be successful because there's not conflict. But then they said, like, if you have conflict in the home, whether you're divorced or not, kids, like, it hurts them in a lot of aspects.
Right. And I think this kind of answers the question, which relationship should you put first, your husband or your spouse or your kids? But in this circumstance, your spouse should go first so your kids can see and feel that safety net of my family's okay.
Yeah. It reminds me of a quote that was the best way to show your daughter how much you love her is by loving her mother. Something like that.
Yeah.
So, anyway, number five.
They've attained higher education levels.
So the parents.
Yeah, the parents, they say, if the parents went to college...
Or even finished high school.
Yeah.
He mentions that.
Well, said if you finish high school, chances are your kids are going to finish high school.
Yeah.
And if you finished college or went to college, chances are your kids will go to college. So there you go.
Yeah. So it's basically, it talks about
but being... But they do compare it mostly to, like, teen moms.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know if there's that many teen moms listening to this show. But if you are, that's awesome.
We love you.
I'm just saying that teen moms have children that are less likely to finish high school.
Because a lot of teen moms, unfortunately, don't finish school.
Right, so.
So it's about being an example, basically.
Yeah.
Mom and dad finished high school. Mom and dad went to college. So.
Basically, all of these are about being an example.
Kind of, yeah. The next one, it's six. They teach their kids math early on.
I don't agree. I hate math.
So a big study showing that if you teach your kids, just not like they have to be math geniuses, but when before they go into school or, you know, they have the concept of, they have, I like how it says, the paramount importance of early math skills of beginning school with a knowledge of numbers, number order, and the other rudimentary math concepts. So it's not like, you know, you're putting your kindergarten, my kindergarten knows algebra. No, it's just like my kid can count to 20, or, you know, my kid knows that 1 + 1 = 2 type of thing.
Which is funny because I just read another study about how, not related to this, but about how they've done a study about kindergartners and kindergartners that do the play model, where it's more play-focused learning.
Yeah.
They are no less, what was it?
Like, educated?
In their reading. Like, they aren't under kids that do the, what most kids do now is the, like, they sit and do worksheets all day. They, by the time they hit third grade, they're not behind.
They're not developmentally behind
yeah.
kids that are just doing worksheets
so
all day.
So, this study says teach your kids early on how to do math. I don't really have a preference.
Well,
I like the play model.
It's good to at least they know how to count to 10 or something. number 7.
They develop a relationship with their kids. So, this one talked about, I thought this one was really interesting.
Yeah.
They found out that children who in the first 3 years of their life received sensitive caregiving not only did better in academic tests in their childhood, but had healthier relationship and greater academic attainment in their 30s. So they did this study of 243 people. And I can't believe that affected them so much into their 30s.
Well, but it also commented on, like, the study was people born in poverty, but yet they still received that sensitive caregiving, right. were successful after that because they had that a good relationship with their parents.
Right. So it matters. But yep. Don't feel guilty if sometimes you take some you time with
That's
your
right.
babies.
You time is still important. That which kind of goes into this next one.
Mm-hmm.
They're less stressed. So parents that are less stressed is good for the kids because they talk about how emotional contagion. I thought that was an interesting word. So emotional contagion or the psychological phenomenon where people catch feelings of one another like they would a cold. Research shows that if your friend is happy, that brightness will infect you. If she's sad, that gloominess will transfer as well. So if a parent is exhausted or frustrated, that emotional state could transfer to kids. So, which is...
I'm always exhausted.
Well, it's hard and it's frustrating because it's, you know, when it's so easy to get frustrated sometimes, but if you're constantly stressed, angry, frustrated, all those things, then your kids can start getting angry
they
and
catch it.
Angry and frustrated too.
Or
and,
not necessarily
that,
but...
And then you just start
but,
feeding off of each other.
Right, but they can internalize that stress different than just showing it, but they can feel stressed, and then that can affect everything.
Yeah, so try not to be stressed and...
Good luck with that, too.
Yeah, figure that out. All right, number 9.
They value effort over avoiding failure. So this one talks about there's two different mindsets. A fixed mindset where you just believe you do as well as your intelligence level.
Yeah, so if you're intelligent, you're successful. But if you're... But if you fail, then you're not intelligent. That's a fixed mindset.
And then the other mindset is a growth mindset, which is... what you do in life isn't based on your intelligence, but based on your effort. And you don't see failure as unintelligence, but as a springboard for growth and for stretching.
Yeah. So failure, it doesn't mean that you're dumb. It just means that you found another way to not do it. Well, it's kind of like Thomas Edison inventing the light bulb, right? Where he talked about, I didn't fail 10,000 times. I just found 10,000 ways that didn't work.
Right.
When he was inventing the light bulb. And so there
you go.
Well,
and I hated growing up, but I so appreciate now is when I was in elementary school, my brothers and I went and got tested at a university for ADD. And part of that was getting your IQ test. And so my mom knows all of our IQs, but she would never tell us what the number was. I always wanted to know, like, what's my IQ? And she said, you don't need to know that. Like, you don't need that to run your life, to base everything in your life off of that. And so I think if I would have known, I would have always thought, well, that's how smart I am. I can't do better or I can't do worse, you know? But because I didn't know the level, my fixed level of how smart I was, I could grow. I could, like, try to do better and not think that I could only do as well as my IQ says I can. So I think that's cool. I like the growth mindset.
She should tell you, though, now.
No way. I don't want to know.
I want to know.
Like three.
Right.
I'm just kidding.
All right. Number 10, the mom's work. And it's interesting. This was the only one out of the whole list that we tended to disagree with, because it's all about basing what is success right. in your life. And some people, their model of success is whether or not you have a high paying job. And all this study shows is that mothers who work, their children, especially their daughters, tend to be more successful in the workforce, where they are in manager roles and they make a higher percentage of money than daughters that grew up in a home where it was a stay-at-home mom. But it in my mind, it's just like, okay, well, the only thing you're showing there that is successful is that they're making more money.
Right.
And in my mind, that's not a key factor in my life for success. And so we determine our success in whatever way you want to. But so this was one we kind of disagreed with. But the research did show that children that grew up in a home with a mother, the daughters ended up making...
Working mother.
A working mother. The daughters ended up having more manager roles and earning more money, and that the sons actually were better at childcare and doing housework because they had to pick up.
When you say childcare, you mean that they help take care of their own siblings?
Yes, they help take care of their siblings and help take care of the house because mom was working. And so they learned that skill, which can be very useful.
So if that's how you measure success,
so
there you go.
There you go.
We don't have much more to say about that
one. No, we'll continue on.
Number 11, they have higher socioeconomic
status.
Status. So, basically...
Basically, if you live in a good neighborhood and you go to a better school or a more affluent school, you tend to have a better education than those, unfortunately, that are born into a more... poverty-stricken area.
Yeah, it's not necessarily your neighborhood, but it's the income that your parents make.
The income. So.
So the more money your parents make, the higher you are to be successful.
The more likely you are to succeed in life. That's what this research
shows. But that's the other thing. How are we measuring our success?
Well, this once again is just about...
Money. Earning money. There's another one I kind of disagree on. Because there are a lot of people that I know that don't make that much money that have... awesome families.
Well, and they're perfectly happy, too.
So, whatever. So, anyway. But if you make money, that's great.
Yeah. Number 12, they are authoritative rather than authoritarian or permissive. So, I actually learned this in college. These three, it was a study in the 1960s that talked about there are three kinds of parenting styles. There's permissive, which is the parent tries to be non-punitive and accepting of the child.
Basically, I'm your friend.
Friend, not your parent. Authoritarian, the parent tries to shape and control the child based on a set of standard of conduct. So you're kind of like, you control your child and try to live their life for them. And then authoritative, the parent tries to direct the child rationally. So teach your children and let your children make choices. And so, and the article does say the ideal is authoritative. The kid grows up with the respect for authority, but doesn't feel strangled by it.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
I agree.
Agree with that one. And last, but not least.
Last one is they teach grit.
Grit.
I love this. So, in 2013, a psychologist won a MacArthur Genius Grant.
Woo!
I want that grant.
I want a Genius Grant. I got a Genius Grant.
For her uncovering of a powerful, success-driving personality trait called grit.
Grit.
So, but the word grit has been around forever.
Yes.
Like, true grit.
But
it's a John Wayne black and white movie.
But they didn't classify it as a personality trait, though.
Okay, fine.
This is officially classifying it as a personality trait.
So, grit is defined as the tendency to sustain interest and effort toward very long-term goals. So, basically, grit means you want something in the future and you're going to work toward it.
Or just you're working on something right now and you work so hard at it that eventually you get it.
Yeah. So, her research correlated grit with educational attainment, grade point average in Ivy League undergrads, retention in West Point cadets, and rank in the U.S. National Spelling Bee. So grit is about teaching kids to imagine and commit to a future they want to create. But have you ever watched the Scripps Spelling Bee? Those kids probably have no life whatsoever.
Oh, they probably
besides,
don't.
Like, sitting at home and learning Latin and roots and stuff.
Yeah.
So to me, I have another problem with that. Like,
well, it's just like
some of those long-term goals are a little crazy.
And I'm not saying this to offend anyone, but like, what is that going to do for their future? Besides, yeah, okay, they'll maybe get scholarships out of it and everything, but like, it's just like you're maybe going to English, sure, and everything like that. But what I'm getting at is kind of like the math thing. Okay, like learning all this math, right? And I read an article this week that a mother took the SAT, right? And she took the SAT to just see where she was in her life and what her children were taking.
Why would you do that?
So she took the SAT and she says, like, she got to the math section and she's like, I don't know, like, half of this stuff. And she's like, but I'm not, she's like, I've been a working professional for 20 plus years and I'm, you know, like the CEO of this company type of thing. And she's like, but I don't know what this blah, blah, blah phrase in math is. And like, she's like, why do you need to know that? Because you really don't need to, unless maybe you're going into like engineering. Or physics or something
right.
like that.
I can appreciate math, but I don't like
it. I appreciate math because math is what makes really the world go round, but I don't need to know it to make my world go round.
Right, and I don't necessarily have dreams for my kids to attend Ivy League schools.
If they do, that's amazing.
It's awesome, I'm just saying.
We just want them to go to college.
Right, and I don't know. I understand grit is important. Like, it's important to have goals and attain them, but the goals they list, I'm like, you know what? If my kids...
Once again, it comes to defining what success is.
Right.
Is success about you getting the best, like getting a CEO or upper level management job and making six figures a year? If that's your definition of success, then yeah, you're going to reach for those type of goals. But for me, that's not my definition of success. You know, my success, I feel, would be more bent on, am I happy? Am I a good husband and a good father? Have my children been raised to be outstanding community citizens?
Yeah. Do they have values?
Do they have values and morals? And do they live good lives? That is success to me. I will.
Oh, you're so sweet.
I will never make six figures in my life.
Hey, we can dream.
We can dream. I got grit, but but that's not what's important to me. Important to me is having a job that I know that I enjoy, that I can support my family in, but then...
And we can still go on vacations.
And yeah, do stuff, but it's more, for me, it's more about raising the next generation of good people.
Yes.
Boom.
Right.
All right.
Love it.
Well, thank you for listening to The Clown Car. Parenting is hard, and we believe you should get a gold star just for trying.
Just remember, our way is not the only way. Find what works for you. You are doing a good job.
You can follow us and share your thoughts on all our social media outlets, but we're primarily focused on Facebook, so definitely drop us a line there. And if you have any questions or want to submit articles for us to review or talk about, you can do that at theclowncarshow@gmail.com. And make sure, more importantly, you subscribe, rate our and review our show on iTunes. And until next time, enjoy your circus.
You've been listening to a Closet Geek Studios production. For all information about Closet Geek Studios, visit theclosetgeek.net for all your geeky needs, or follow us on Twitter and Facebook.